Welcome to the Coaching and Therapy channel. So this channel is quite close to my heart because I train coaches in embodiment. I mean, why? Because if you don't work with the body, you're missing a lot. Whether you're a coach, a therapist, facilitator, whatever, that's how you go deep quickly. That's how you do stuff that's sticky. We have to take the body into account. This channel is sponsored by Dylan Newcombe and Uzazu Embodied Intelligence. Dylan is a genius, quite simply put, and I wouldn't say that about many people in this field. I've been studying with Dylan for, God, the first time was probably 10 years ago in the Netherlands. Speaks fluent Dutch, by the way, as well as Korean and a few other languages. What I love about Dylan is his ability to make models of things, looking at how embodiment works. His system, Uzazu, U-Z-A-Z-U, is really all about state shifting. So I think of him as the sort of master of state changing, how we can shift our state, our client's state, and how we can develop ourselves through those different ways of being. So I think for coaches and therapists, it's like easy to learn, practical toolkit. I've used it myself over the years. So if you want a 3-day online training with Dylan, then look at the link below, or you can go to Uzazu, uzazu.org. And even easier, he's got an embodied assessment there you can do as well. We all love doing these little tests about ourselves, but this is an embodied one. So there you go. Welcome to the Coaching and Therapy channel. I'm going to be on this one a lot just because there's lots of cool people on here. Lots of people, I think, you know, well worth a listen. Embodiment in facilitation is so necessary. So from me to you, welcome.
Today, at this session, we are introducing Dawn Strom. Dawn has a diverse background as a philosopher, dancer, writer, somatic movement therapist, gyrotonic master trainer, embodiment nerd, and I can qualify that, coach and mother. Her 18 years of experience in business combined with her personal journey of embodiment as a path to heal from trauma and create a meaningful life informs her work and shapes the space she holds for others. She loves helping her clients to tap into their innate wisdom, to get the roots of their stuck points and create the internal and external shifts that create a new movement in their lives and businesses. She tells us that movement has always been an anchor for her, and the opportunity to tune into the movement of her body has supported her resilience through countless challenging life experiences, giving her a direct line to her deepest wisdom and leading her back to herself in time and time again. Dawn, welcome. Welcome to the conference. I'm delighted to have you here. It's your time in the spotlight. Thank you.
Thank you, Matthew. And hello, everybody. I'm going to just share my screen here. Hello and welcome. I am so excited to be here and so excited to just participate in this amazing gathering of an amazing amount of people, 400,000 people, collectively showing up with an interest and a heart for connecting to themselves, connecting to other people in a deeper way, and just showing up as community. So I want to talk today and just open up conversation around embodiment and meaning, and really embodiment as a pathway for creating meaning. Ooh, hold on here, there we go. And as Matthew said, I am Dawn Strom and I have a really diverse background. I have a lot of irons in the fire and a lot of interests, and I've kind of made it my life path to study philosophy and to study embodiment and to follow my heart and find my way and find my journey and to try to help others to do the same and support others to do the same through movement, through thought, through creativity, and also, you know, through business really as an avenue for creativity. So before we get rolling, this presentation is going to be a combination of my personal experience, my research, in somatic philosophy, my studying of two primary modalities, body-mind centering and the gyrotonic movement method, and going on 18 years now of work in this field. So it's exciting. And I really hope that through this, you know, the next 50 minutes here, that you're able to resonate with what I'm saying and resonate with the experiences that I offer and, you know, tap into a little bit new insight, a new opportunity to explore embodiment as a pathway and as a resource for you to experience meaning and purpose in your life. And at the end, I'll have a little takeaway guide too. There's going to be a lot of details in here. So I made a little guide for you at the end. There'll be a link you can catch at the end of this. So I just want to talk about and just kind of start the conversation by asking, what is embodiment? Because that's kind of the question for this whole conference. And it's such a funny term, right? Because on some level, we all have bodies. Like we say, what's embodiment? And it's like, well, duh, I have a body. But at the same point, there's this calling within this word, right? There's this sense of something needs to be found. Perhaps something's been lost. Perhaps something needs to be expanded on. Something needs to be embodied, right? It's sort of an activity. It's an action. So obviously there's infinite reasons people can seek embodiment, but I've, you know, in my own practice and 18 years of experience, I've seen sort of some common themes, which certainly aren't exhaustive. And definitely a theme of, like I said, the sense that something that's been lost that needs to be reclaimed, or a desire to create sort of a new path to reclaim something or to claim something new in your life. Specifically, you know, I've seen kind of in the realms of health, relationships, or professional life. So that would be for health. You know, in my experience, it's usually been people coming to embodiment because they've lost their health in some way. They're either having a physical or mental health crisis. They want to feel empowered in navigating their health in a different way. Maybe they have some chronic condition that they're working with, or they're really looking to kind of catalyze their own power for healing, for change, for transformation, and even to just be more empowered in their bodies with their health, you know, tap into their intuition and so forth. So that's been a big one for me in my experience with clients and in my work. And the other reason that I see people seek embodiment is for relationships, and that's relationship with self and other, wanting better relationships with themselves, to feel a greater sense of self-understanding and expression, and wanting to communicate better, have greater peace and understanding in their relationships, and you know, more self-awareness and more power, sort of personal power in relationships as well too. And then the leadership and development piece is another piece that I've really seen as people looking for, either they've kind of lost a sense of purpose in their career or their work. They're looking for, usually coaches and therapists that are looking for deeper embodiment work. They want more understanding of how they're bringing embodiment to their work and new skill sets, you know, and to get clear about the value of the tools that they have as well that they're bringing to their work. So I'm curious if any of these resonate for you. And I hopefully can see if you guys can put them in the chat, if there's any of these that resonate for you, or if there's something else that's brought you here today or brought you to embodiment, you know, as a way of looking for deeper connection, for meaning in one of these areas. So I think I can see the chat, but I'm going to keep moving here. So one thing that I see that unites all these reasons, like I said, is this idea of something that's been lost or wanting to claim something that has a deeper personal meaning or a deeper shared meaning in your life. So whether it's health or relationships or professional life. So that's what I really want to talk today about, is how embodiment can really help you tap into that deeper desire to live a meaningful life and to connect more deeply and meaningfully in the moment with yourself, with others. And with a deeper sense of purpose to that as well. So I'm going to share my own embodiment journey and how I have, let me just move this here, my own embodiment journey and how that has really been a journey for me of moving through some pretty deep experiences of loss and finding my calling within it all. And then four pathways to embodied meaning that have emerged for me through my personal research and my coaching and therapy practice. And then I want to kind of integrate those four pathways for you with a little exercise at the end to help you embody them in a hopefully a new way. So, and just a little disclaimer, obviously nothing in this presentation is meant to diagnose or treat any illness, and anything I suggest should obviously be done at your own discretion, with your own sensibility around what's right for you and your body. So I'm going to start with a story, because all bodies have a story, and this is fundamentally about the story of our bodies. And like I said, mine is really about a real narrative for me of my personal experience with loss and how it was influenced by my own journey with embodiment tools and community and my artistic and philosophical influences that really helped to shape that path for me. and you know, to pull it through into a kind of a bigger sense of purpose and meaning that I can share with others. So, you know, my story, I guess, really starts by rewinding 20 years ago and really the evolution of a series of traumatic losses that really left me in sort of a crisis state, a health crisis, and, you know, what I call really an existential crisis, a real crisis of meaning in my life. And I was about 20, 22 years old, and my mother had actually just died of cancer. And it triggered this just really deep state for me of, you know, of loss and of existential questioning, you know, the bigger questions of life, right? You know, and partly it was my age, but partly it was really just this experience of being with someone as they died. And I actually got to be with my mother when she passed. And it was a really profound experience. You know, as well as a traumatic one for me. I was really young and it brought up, like I said, a ton of questions and, you know, a deep experience of loss, obviously, of what I lost from that. But, you know, questions about like, how does death give meaning to our experience of life? What's ultimately meaningful about our relationships to one another? You know, what do we really remember in the end? You know, the bigger questions of why is there suffering? And how is suffering in any way meaningful? Is meaning even a real thing, or is life really just meaningless? You know, I mean, is this just sort of something that you live and let go of? You know, and if that's the case, how, for me, you know, how is I going to move on? So if I couldn't find a way to create a path to create, to make meaning of the situation and make meaning and to find, you know, a sense of my way through these questions, I felt like I just could not move forward. And these questions tapped a much deeper thread for me as well, because this was not my first experience of loss. I had actually been adopted. My sort of biological parents had died when I was very young, 3 months old, in a car crash, just a total accident. And I was adopted by my sister, my mother's sister and her husband. And they had both had mental, you know, chronic mental and physical illnesses that led to their early deaths. So my adopted dad had actually died when I was 12 of suicide. And then my mom, as sort of the catalyst of this experience, had, you know, died of cancer when I was 22. So I was at the end of this kind of cascading series of experiences that, you know, just left me feeling like an orphan, which I was, but, you know, sort of the absurdity of feeling, you know, being an orphan twice, right, by the age of 22, and dealing with sort of the psychological and emotional trauma of that, and a real deep sense of anxiety and, you know, fighting off depression. And at the same time, feeling, you know, kind of a paradoxical kind of vitality around this kind of energy of meaning and the energy of really coming into contact with what seemed sort of vitally at the center of human life, right? Which was this sense of impermanence and the sense of, you know, our lives are really bookended by birth and death. And that's a sort of a fundamental thing that we have to do to sort of come to grips with and find meaning about, you know? So, you know, the state I was in was really kind of a groundless. It felt groundless on some level, like the rug had been pulled out from underneath me. And, you know, I just didn't feel like I really could find something to stand on. And also had a sense of a void. And, you know, and none of this, it really kind of, you know, I mean, there's Buddhist concepts sort of nothingness and groundlessness. And now looking back, that was definitely part of the experience. But, you know, for me at the time, it was fear inducing, you know, I have perspective, but, you know, and for me at the time, it really appeared to me this sense of void as the real presence of absence. You know, and knowing that the sense of like the change was the only constant, but also that like there was just this sort of space and this absence of where these people had been. And at the time I was in college, so I was actually studying philosophy and theology. And like I said, sort of struggling with anxiety around a lot of these questions and fighting off depression and, you know, just sort of unresolved trauma from the collection of these experiences. I was really inspired by the existentialist tradition and really inspired actually. And this sense of how really it was up to us to create meaning, to create individual meaning about our lives and to really participate in that, for humanity, you know, as like part of our contribution to humanity. So that started to really inspire me even more deeply. And at the same time, I had this nagging sense that these kinds of intellectual truths just were not enough. And they weren't comforting to me on a really fundamental level. And I had this really deep sense that, you know, when you lose somebody, it's really your heart, it's their heart that aches, right? It's not like a thought about loss. Like, you know, this is reflection now, but it's like, if any of you've ever lost somebody really dear to you, you know, it's that you go through those phases where you're just like aching, right? It's like an aching feeling on the inside. And it's that aching sense of not being able to connect anymore. And, you know, that was really present for me in my body. And, you know, I really felt this sense that the grief was in my body because the loss was really of a body, right? When it was of this experience of a person through a body. And that kind of mysterious sense that frames our reality, you know, that we're sort of these people showing up and expressing and being in bodies, you know, and that this death had kind of appeared to me, the loss of my parents, you know, really as the loss of this physical experience of a body. So I knew if I wanted to heal and move forward that I had to find a way to move through all this and find some grounding. And I decided to look to the language of the body. And this was honestly just a kismet, the universe conspiring, you know, as I started to seek, to really seek these kinds of opportunities, they just started to show up in the best possible way. And, you know, I really started to look to movement as this sort of language to understand impermanence, right? And the essence of what that was and how to really understand it experientially. And I went back to kind of the beginning of my own story and that kind of first loss of when I was really young, and really to the foundation of our experience, of our ability to experience and the way that we experience when we're first born, right? Which is really fundamentally through touch and through movement. You know, it's not abstract concepts. And, you know, and I was fighting kind of the cultural biases of my family as well, which are also larger cultural biases, you know, around not, you know, that memory was something that is sort of cognitive, right? So like if you're a baby, you don't have memory because it's not like a thought process. But I really felt like that was different. And I felt like I could remember them and I felt like I could remember them through my body. So I studied body mind centering through a program called Global Somatics with Suzanne River. And I studied a physical theater method and dance and gyrotonic movement. I started to just really pool all of my resources to really learn a language to interpret and express what I was experiencing. And also to look kind of more at that shared language of the body as not just movement, but anatomy, biology, and to, you know, really understand how that could be a doorway, you know, to creating meaningful connection, not only personally, but also to a new and evolving community that I was part of. So, you know, as part of this as well, I kind of journeyed into a whole philosophical and artistic process and did a lot of my own trauma and healing work, worked with a somatic therapist, you know, and then actually did, you know, a real literal ritual journey and went to the spot. This is a very long story actually that I'm shortening, condensing a lot here, but, you know, went and found the place where my parents had died and started making performance work. I started to just make dance and to allow the language and the movement kind of as an expression of what that loss was for me to emerge and to start to take shape, you know, through artistic process of really looking for those movements improvisationally and starting to pull them out into, you know, different ways they contained metaphors, that they resonated with this language that I was learning of movement, developmental movement, and so forth. So that's kind of its own long process. That's the long and short of it. But really in the end, I was able to come back to my body and the anxiety started to really dissipate. You know, and I was able to find a sense of continuity of the past and the present and kind of rewrite my own story on a physical level and, you know, also sort of on a philosophical level and a narrative level. So, and really at the end of it, I had this sense that I was, you know, it was really done. And there was a level of healing that, you know, was really complete for me. And that was a really profound experience. So, you know, that some of the larger purposes that really came through that for me, like I said, was returning to my body as kind of this felt sense of home in the midst of change, and the sense of, you know, flow and impermanence, and having a sense of how the body can really connect you to the past to bring the past and the present together in the moment. And, you know, really having also this really deep, expansive sense of community through the embodiment world and this opportunity that embodiment offered for people to connect in this profound way, authentically around their experience and the meaning they were making of their experience. That was actually, you know, very philosophically interesting to me as well, which I'll get to in a little bit here. And then also just this, the power of the resilience and healing from trauma is massive. And anybody that's gone through that and experienced that, it's a really profound experience, you know, that pulls you forward and gives you a lot of purpose, or it can give you a lot of purpose. It gave me a lot of purpose. You know, and then I just think the bigger picture is, I think I just carry this story with me, and I carry this awareness that, you know, none of us is guaranteed tomorrow. And for me, it's not a sad thing. It's just it's a thing that brings me into today and brings me into how I want to live today and how I want to show up today with myself and with others. And, you know, I think that's a being able to do that and show up every day and work with my clients and be present in my life in a meaningful way through all of these tools has just been the biggest gift. So for me, you know, this purpose and healing really came through. I break it down into kind of four ways that, you know, the sort of embodiment work and the sharing of my experience kind of guided and led this process. So I'm going to talk about these in relation to me, and then I'm going to talk about them in relation to how we can apply them, and hopefully you can use them as well. So the first one was really, like I said, looking at how connecting to a shared reality of the physical world through the body gives meaning, right, to our shared experience. So even though there's infinite diversity of bodies, you know, on some level, this practice of embodiment gives us a space to connect through this shared physical world, through this shared story that we're all born and we all die. We're all subject to physical laws of impermanence, of gravity. And that really gives a context, you know, it's a context for meaning, for community. It was obviously powerful for me in my personal journey, but also I think it's powerful just as a orienting factor for community. And then secondly, this idea of really connecting to myself and connecting to my sense of creative power, that I could choose to transform my experience, that I could do with support, you know, that I could do that work, that I could create new meaning, and I could make a shift. So, you know, the fact that embodiment is this pathway to really powerfully experience who we are, you know, which is a really mysterious thing, right? Like, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I feel pretty mysterious to myself half the time. I don't know that any of us really like know ourselves or really, you know, so, I mean, the path of embodiment is really a path of dialogue with yourself, of this unraveling of what your own life is about, you know, and I think that's a deeply powerful opportunity. And thirdly, it's also this deep opportunity to connect with other people through embodied awareness. So to really experience the presence of others and being present for others in a deep and, you know, in powerful way, and also valuing our inherent interconnectedness and our potential to create shared meaning and experience with each other. And then lastly, and this gets a little bit more philosophical, it was, you know, really looking at the body as a metaphor, right, that could capture personal experience and sort of transmute it with metaphysical meaning, that can help to take our physical experience and make it into something that leads us to a bigger purpose. You know, and for me, that was sort of working with this experience of change and impermanence, even like the metaphor of, you know, life as a journey of creating and letting go of, you know, any of these metaphors, they're all physical, right? So they're really rooted in our experience of our bodies, but yet they take us into a bigger reality. They take us into the, you know, the bigger story of our lives. You know, and so ultimately, you know, that's that fourth layer. That was that fourth layer for me of being able to really come to a sense of meaning, bigger meaning around what my experience was. You know, and then Most importantly, you know, I was able to really shift from a sense of anxiety, from feeling that anxiety, to really being able to feel a sense of trust and connection through the embodiment work, through myself, through the community that I was part of. And connecting to presence also, you know, when we say connecting to ourselves, you know, I think what we're connecting to is our, like I said, that mysterious sense of who we are that we can continue to stay connected to, even though our, you know, our bodies are impermanent. All right. And then, you know, this story shifted too. So it, I really had a different shift from feeling like this orphan, this just sense of being orphaned, to really feeling part of this bigger community with a bigger purpose, which is huge as well. And then I felt a larger calling emerge for me too. And I kept going with my own study of the embodiment work. And as my own journey evolved, I took all the tools that I was learning and I started applying them to working with other people, to helping other people heal using movement, using philosophy, coaching, creativity, and so forth. So that's how I've spent the last 18 years, you know, is really taking that energy from my own personal journey and my own and the tools that I learned and applying it to coaching, movement therapy, specifically working a lot of times with people with chronic health conditions. I did a lot of work with cancer patients actually for a while, working on helping them actually write their legacy stories, and life coaching. And then also starting to, you know, doing work with embodiment professionals as well to really help them kind of put into words what their own experience is and to create valuable applications of their tool sets and so forth to their clients and evolve their work. And then along with all of it, I made another human. So at the end of the day, a new human emerged who I actually named after my parents. So funny enough, I have a daughter now, which is pretty amazing considering at the beginning of all this, I was, you know, one of the, with all the existential anxiety, I never thought I would create, you know, I never thought I would try the whole family thing again. So that's actually a pretty big evolution of that purpose for me. So I'm curious how this resonates with you. I'm curious, if how this is landing, if you've had, you know, similar experiences, similar senses of looking for meaning with loss, looking for meaning, whether it's loss of health or, you know, in my experience with relationships, kind of mine kind of touches on all these pieces. But I'm curious if that's been something you can just pop it in the chat if it has, if I can figure out how to use the chat. It's all a learning curve. So just, you know, wanted to open this up for you to kind of think about how that resonates for you. And also how, you know, I want to talk a little bit about how I think this could inform your experience as well. And kind of pull those four points I made into what I use and I call it pathways, but they could really be kind of modes of knowing, you know, but kind of approaches to making meaning through embodiment and resources to explore. So I call these the four pathways of embodied meaning. And they're certainly not exhaustive. They're just a way I have of framing things and of framing things for my clients that I found really powerful and transformational for people. And that's just breaking it down into the sense of the body as an object, the body as a subject, the body as relationship, as sort of intersubjective connection and shared meaning, and then the body as metaphor. So I'm just going to talk real briefly just about kind of how these could apply to you. So the first pathway would be sort of the objective body, the sense of like, I have a body and looking for the shared sort of physical reality that we have with one another. So this pathway is really about looking at that physical reality as a way to understand and empower your relationship to your body, and also your sense of connection and interconnection to community, to the planet, and so forth. So, you know, some kinds of activities that could lead down this pathway would be looking at like understanding anatomy and science and physical movement dynamics, universal laws, functional human movement patterns, you know, functional fitness or physical therapy, just ways to really get connected to kind of objectively how the body moves, how our bodies are interconnected and you know, share similar pathways of experience. And then the second pathway, this idea of sort of the subjective body, and I call it sort of the I am a body versus sort of I have a body, is looking for self-understanding, expression, creative power. It's that part of embodiment that's that, you know, that's that you that comes through the experience, right? It's the approach to being, awareness, and expression of your own authentic truth, and how you feel and experience that through your body. So ways that I've seen this explored are like embodied anatomy, you know, and that's that process of sort of exploring these objective maps and then connecting to your personal experience and using that as a way to deepen and expand those maps. Looking at how your body movements express your personal history and your story on a physical, psychological, and emotional level. Exploring shifting states of being through physical movement, like how you can be in different ways. Oh, there's just, this one's endless, right? I spent a lot of time here. resourcing your body for creative process. Yeah, and then the third one, this idea of sort of the relational body and body as connection, right? Looking for meaningful connection through embodiment. I love this picture, it's so sweet. The relational pathway is really about just exploring how our bodies really allow us to connect to each other and to be present with each other and to, you know, really experience what I think is ultimately meaningful about, you know, of life in life is that sense of connection and that we have to each other. So ways, kind of pathways for this. Gosh, so many here too, right? Touch and body work, moving. This is actually my daughter and I here doing some movement, doing some yoga. Moving and mirroring one another's movement, you know, exploring inner subjective meaning, reading body language, listening with your body, empathy, presence, all the ways we show up with each other in our bodies, eating, sleeping, sex, work, play. You know, I really put in here too, kind of experiencing art. So going and experiencing art with your body. As a way of, you know, experiencing embodied communication. And then the last one here, this body as metaphor, or sort of the meaningful body, looking for a way to really frame the personal experience with metaphysical meaning. So this personal experience of the body as a pathway to greater purpose, a deeper sense of purpose. Yeah, so really just this pathway of tapping into our bodies, how our bodies can guide us to experience meaningful states of connection and purpose. And these pictures here are all actually pictures from a lot of the art that I made around these different experiences. So ways to explore body as a metaphor. That's not body is, I guess the body is a metaphor. Really looking at the different ways that our physical actions can hold potential for metaphysical meaning or our physical experiences of our body, whether it's our body systems or movements that we do with our body, you know, and how this translates into art, philosophy, spirituality. You know, and for me, like I said, there were so many metaphors that came through my work in this way, but, you know, one of them was, for instance, like loss is a journey of holding on and letting go. So that's an embodied metaphor, right? And this is actually a pretty good picture for that too. So this idea of using a body movement, like holding on, letting go, and the experience of a journey, which is essentially an embodied experience, to capture a bigger journey, a bigger meaning, and a bigger purpose. All right, so these pathways are all interconnected. There's not, this isn't like a dividing up of reality. It's just a way to kind of see an interlacing of perception and an interlacing of ways that I've seen and used to explore meaning for myself. And I do notice that people tend to kind of enter in through different pathways too. You know, some people really feel more comfortable entering into embodiment through the objective level, through the subjective level, an artistic one, through the relationships. You can see that with this conference, with the different channels, what people are attracted to. You know, and even maybe more the metaphoric level with spirituality, art, philosophy. So I'm curious if one of these pathways resonates with you, if one of these is like, oh yeah, that really resonates. I feel a lot of energy around that one. So what I would love to do here is just explore really, really simply, because that's the best way to explore complexity, if you can, is to explore all of these in one exercise using the breath. So using the breath as an anchor, as kind of a physical experience and a biological process to kind of to explore embodying presence, these kind of bigger concepts, right? Presence, impermanence, and interdependence. So this will probably take about, you know, 5 to 10 minutes here. So go ahead and just get comfortable. And I'm gonna just take you through these four pathways really simply. So you wanna get in a comfortable position with your body, preferably, you know, I'm sure you're all sitting. So just get comfortable in your chairs. And let's just actually start. You can go ahead and just close your eyes and bring your awareness inside your body. And we're going to just do a quick little version of what is kind of colloquially known as a body scan. So, you know, basically just kind of bringing your inner awareness inside your body. You know, and if you're, hopefully your feet are on the floor, and just really start by feeling your feet on the floor and just kind of tracing up through your legs and all the way up, just so you're kind of tracing your body in space with your inner eye, and really feeling the weight of your feet, the bones of your legs up into your hip socket. If you're seated, just go ahead and really bring your awareness into your connection to the ground and how that supports your spine. And just allow yourself to come into as easy of an upright position as possible. So if it's useful for you, thinking about kind of aligning the hips, shoulders, and ears, you want to make breathing as easy as possible by aligning your spine. And really just letting yourself feel that connection down through your feet and all the way up your spine through the top of your head. So you really feel that sense of ground and the space above you. And then go ahead and just bring your awareness to your breathing. And just do a baseline for yourself. So just do a check-in around how you're breathing. So just notice where it is in your body. Notice if your breathing feels like it's up in your shoulders or it's in your rib cage, or maybe you feel it more in your belly. Just kind of do a read on it and just track it and put it to the side where you notice it as a starting point for you. And then I want you to just pay attention to your breathing, and we're going to pay attention to it with this awareness of this objective layer. So I want you to pay attention to the breathing and allow yourself to feel the inhale and the exhale, and just be aware of kind of what's physically happening. So, you know, on a real simple level, there's an exchange of oxygen and carbon dioxide, right? So you're connecting with your environment, you're part of your environment, interconnected with it by your exchange of inhaling carbon dioxide, transmuting it into oxygen, feeding your cells, and then sending that back out into carbon dioxide that goes out and provides fuel and life energy in the environment. So just as you inhale and exhale, allow yourself to feel that interconnection of just that physical reality of the exchange, of the giving, the receiving of energy, of life chemistry. And just take one more breath with that awareness, and then we're going to shift into the next layer. You can go ahead and shift into the second layer, which is really body as subject. So this experience of yourself through your breathing. So go ahead and go back to how you felt the breathing again in the beginning, and bring a more awareness now to how you're breathing. So if your breathing feels shallow or deep, notice if there's maybe tension or relaxation, where you are on that spectrum. And just tap into what the breathing is connecting to in your state of being. So in whatever way feels comfortable and safe for you, just connecting into the breathing and allowing it to reveal something about you, something about how you're feeling, your state of being, how you're showing up in this moment. So let the inhale and the exhale really be a connection internally into your inner life, into your inner world. And then the exhale, how that inner world is being able to be expressed through your state of being. Let's just do another breath with that awareness. And maybe even just explore really briefly, just allowing yourself to maybe just take a little bit deeper breath and see if that changes anything for you. So just shifting your physical awareness a little bit and seeing if that shifts your embodied experience, if it shifts your state of being or your way of feeling or however you're experiencing yourself in the moment. And take one more breath like that, and then we're going to shift into the third pathway. And this is the really the pathway of body as relationship. And this is really great place to explore that with this large gathering of energy and people and interest and connection here. So just shifting into your breathing now and allowing yourself to feel yourself breathing, to connect into that objective sense of what's being exchanged, of the interconnectedness, and then just panning even more deeply into all of the people on this call, breathing together, and all the people in the conference breathing together. So really just feeling this spanning out to everybody in the conference, everybody on this call. And just allowing us all to inhale together, taking a nice deep inhale. And then a nice deep exhale. And just allowing yourself to kind of track what that experience feels like to you, to have that sense of breathing internationally all across the board. Nice deep inhale and exhale. And then go ahead and just hold that experience and also just pull in for yourself a memory or an awareness of somebody that you love or some being that you love. It could be a dog or a cat or a being. And allow yourself to continue to feel this breathing on this relationship level and feel yourself connecting to that person that you love. And how your sense of breathing allows you to connect to your experience of them. And just take an inhale and exhale with that. And just remembering anything you want to remember from that. We're going to move into one last layer here, this sense of body as meaning, as metaphor. And I want to keep with all of these layers and just move into your experience of giving and receiving. In relationship, connected to all life. And just allow yourself as you inhale to experience that sense of receiving. It can be receiving spiritually, receiving in relationship, receiving from yourself. And then as you exhale, really giving back out and what you give from what you receive. And just take a few more breaths with this. And as you breathe, I want you to just listen for if there's a certain word or quality or energy that comes to you of what you're really here to receive and what you're really here to give. It could be in this moment, it could be in your life. And just take a few more breaths and really let yourself inhale and exhale that question, what you're here to receive and what you're here to give. And even as a community, what we're here to receive and what we're here to give. And just go ahead and take one more breath with that. And then you can go ahead and just slowly exhale, open your eyes back up and come back in. And hopefully I haven't gone too much over time here. I'm good at good time. I'm just curious, you know, I want to open up a little bit here to discussion with you, but what of these four pathways resonated? What resonated with this for you? I guess we can open up to some Q&A here too, if we've got a little time, Matthew. And then I can also share some links for some takeaway guides so you guys, if you want to continue to think about these ideas, think about this process. I have some resources for you as well here. And also I included, if you wanted to see some of the movement that came out of these explorations, not just the words. I have a work sample around it too. So thank you so much for being here with us and with this conversation. And I'd love to hear from you guys. If Matthew, can you facilitate? Do we have time for a little Q&A?
Yes, we do. Yeah, we have about 10 minutes of time for Q&A. I'm going to just pick up a little bit of something from correct bio. That you're a philosopher of movement and an embodied coach for transformational leaders that want to create a movement. You touched on that in the last piece of breathwork. And that's part of the conversations you and I have had. And that that deserves to come strongly through from the last piece that you did. I think it's a very elegant part of your work. In the chat, you've got some lovely comments from people, including a very brave one from Ali, who's shared a lot of her story. From Khan, who said, feeling your story and the courage, how you made it work for yourself and how profound that is. And that's my experience of connecting with your work.
Yeah.
Is it that you bring a great blessing of that to how you connect with people, how you describe, how you draw embodiment as a birthright to people from your courage, from you, the work that you have done.
Wow.
So if any people want to add questions, there's the Q&A box that people can vote on. Only Eric has reflected on something in the Q&A box. But if people like to add to the questions thread. Ali said, if it's okay to share, we can, well, she's made it public. My experience of finding and claiming the trans nature of my body has been the key of discovering my spirituality. Claiming this conjunction of my internal space and the thing it projects into the world through as my own gave me a space to hold into joy that I defined for myself. And I've finally started healing from a lot of that isolation, alienation, and disassociation that I've been stuck in my whole life. So there's a lot that's come from embodied work through that, and a lot that you've spoken about, Dawn, in how to achieve and move through that, through grief, through courage, through movement, through expression.
Hmm. Well, and, you know, also really the, thank you for sharing that. You know, just that decision, right? The decision to just be here and the decision to show up and be here as who you are and to, I mean, it's just so huge. It's like the most courageous decision, you know, we can make. And I didn't really go into it too much here, you know, but from my experience too, experiencing death through having a loved one commit suicide, that's a big thing for me, actually, this kind of, it's the resonance of this decisiveness of being, right? The decisiveness to show up and to choose to find this for yourself, right? To find what your path is, to find what's authentic for you, to, it's such a powerful expression for me of just the highest level potential of the human's, you know, spirit, whether that's a metaphorical concept to you or a literal one, you know, just to really, to make that courageous choice, you know? So, because everybody's got their own story and everybody's got a story, you know, of some moment of courage where they've decided, you know, it may not be as dramatic as deciding to live or die, but like, you know, in one form or another, you know, really deciding to continue to be here, you know? I mean, and if anything, maybe that's how we're born. I don't know. Possibly. Depends on your framework, but.
Yeah, well, that's where you're carrying people.
Born and reborn. That's how we're reborn, at least, I guess, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Suzanne Nyman says, I think the four steps took me deeper into the being present here and now. So that by the fourth, I was able to just know that the thing I want to give is just presence. Since I have been so fragmented lately with a move and many changes, I appreciate you bringing me back to earth.
That's great. You know, that last exercise, hopefully if you guys liked it, if it resonated with you, you can continue to explore it. I've actually found it really interesting because a lot of times when you really listen for what you need to receive, it's actually quite different from what you're going to give, from what you feel like you want to give. So, you know, it can be a really interesting exploration too, right? Of like self-care, of like, what do you really need to receive, you know, in order to really give whatever it is you want to be creating in your life, you know? So, you know, like sometimes if I want to create peace, I really have to receive forgiveness, you know, like, if you know, there's these kind of dynamics. It's not necessarily like, I want to create peace, so I need to receive peace. There's this kind of exchange of energy, you know, like CO2 and O2, you know, so the chemistry, spiritual chemistry, maybe.
Alchemy of breath. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah.
Indeed. And breathing. The part of your bio that I missed out, the new part, was embodiment is our birthright. And an opportunity to create meaning through our shared humanity. Getting into your body or being in your body through movement is a gift that I love to help others claim in their lives, share through their business and embody as an approach to creating a meaningful life. I'm glad you show up with that. I'm glad that you're part of the conference, carrying that energy and that spirit with it.
Thank you, Matthew.
I think we need to sort of wrap up there, unless somebody else comes up with, there's another question popping up. Do you have suggestions about reframing one's ability to love their body when one is not happy with the way one's body is? That's from JSM.
That's a big question to end with. You know, I can tell you from my personal experience, and it's a whole nother tangent. There's so many threads in all this with any one of our stories, right? But I went through a long period of time where I had an eating disorder. And, you know, there's a level of just tenacious persistence that I experienced that I had to tap into in myself to really repattern how I was showing up for myself, you know? And like, these kinds of patterns are so deep, right? And so I started really small. And I started kind of with the same idea of what did I need to receive? And I just allowed myself to receive whatever would just take me a little closer to where I wanted to be, you know, which was to feel happy and to feel content and to feel, it wasn't really at peace with myself, but just to feel happy and content and to, feel alive and to enjoy being alive. So, you know, for me, I think it's different for all of us what those actions look like, but for me, it was kind of a combination of choosing to shift my thought patterns, just being really mindful of ways that I would sort of head down negative directions with my thought patterns that were destructive to myself. And then to just start to flood my experience with everything I could put into it that was positive, you know, embodiment work, creativity, to just start to allow the what I wanted in a way that what needed to heal just got kind of shifted. So, you know, maybe some of the same process of thinking about what you want to receive in order to love your body more. So if what you want to give to yourself is more self-love, what do you need to allow yourself to receive in your life to do that for yourself? So, I mean, I think that can work on an internal level like that too. And it might just be one thing, you know, it might be for me, it was really simple in the beginning. It was like, I'm just not going to go for a run, or I'm just not going to, you know, obsess about food. I don't even remember, honestly, it was so long ago, but it started out really small like that. You know, I'm just not going to do this one thing. I'm going to do something else instead. I'm going to read this book about creativity, or I'm going to, you know, it just to start to change my patterns one little pattern at a time. And just eventually it snowballs, you know, I mean, like anything, we're always, you know, moving either towards, you know, object in motion stays in motion. So, you know, just starting to create motion in a different direction, really small, in small ways, and then allowing that to take on force. So if that's helpful, hopefully it is.
Well, you carried it by example. Our conversations by the river express that, and your part of the conference is a hopeful direction, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Gorgeous. All right. I'm going to call that a wrap for the moment. Lovely. Thank you, Sandra. Anybody's left on the call, take a break for an hour. We've got another talk by Jenna Ward coming up about embodiment for the feminine. Thank you, everybody.